Good afternoon. It is February the 7th, 2016, and it's Indianapolis time on the round and/or flat Earth. And I think it's probably a sphere, but you know, there are flat earthers out there, and I don't want to piss them off, so it could be something else. I just doubt it. But you never know. Could be a rhomboid. The Earth could be a rhomboid. It could be a spherical, deformed, hyperloidal, conical projection onto a 4D Carnot plane of bending space. And people might say to you, Dan, what the hell are you talking about? And I just say, you know, good afternoon. It's okay. But no, I was thinking today about this question of animal rights. And before I jump in, you all need to know something that I'll remind you of always, periodically remind you of, that politically, I've been a libertarian for most of the last decade. I've made some stupid choices. I may have voted for McCain in 2008. I honestly think I may have been so high and drunk when I was voting that I don't know, McCain just seemed okay. But really, I have only voted libertarian since 2008, and I pretty much intend only vote libertarian for the rest of my life, unless, of course, I simply stop voting and stop paying taxes and go underground and either just become a wandering hobo, which seems the most likely path. You know, the greatest lubrication in the probability stream, so to speak, would be some type of transient existence. But whatever, if I end up joining an underground army, I don't think that's going to happen, but whatever. But, you know, anyway, so I'm a libertarian, but I actually meditate more on the ethical questions of libertarianism and anarchism and sort of these minimalist government models than just the questions of economics. Because to me, I've been sold my whole life on this notion that truly transparent and free markets are just, for the most part, optimal. I don't think they solve every problem. I do think that we face problems where every once in a while where local communities kind of have to come together in different sorts of arrangements, but they should be voluntary. They should be cooperative. They should be by choice, and they shouldn't end up lasting forever. You know, it seems like every time our government tries to solve a problem, they create a department or an organization or a committee or an institution or an NGO or some business that just lasts forever. It will never go away. Well, why are those good solutions? I mean, that's the thing. Why do we assume these problems have no solutions, so the only solution is no solution, or basically solutions that make the problem worse? Anyways, I don't really like spending time on the economic questions of libertarianism because I'm sold. But I do ask some ethical questions every once in a while, and I suppose that's my area of interest, at least where the ethics and the economics meet. And one question that does come up for me periodically is this question of animal rights, because there are a lot of people who will come up to me and say, well, Dan, what about the children and what about the animals? Well, let me just make it simple. I'm technically a minarchist, which means I'm a true libertarian. I don't want anarchy. I certainly would want laws that protect the children. I think that there is something to be said that until you've reached adulthood, there has to be some vested interest that the community has in children. It can't simply be, you know, children are the property of their parents, because it seems to me that could create problems. But whatever, it's a community thing. So if you want to live in a community that doesn't give a shit, who knows? That might be the best solution. If you want to live in a community where there's some level of at least shaming directed at people who abuse their kids, I'd rather live in that community, because frankly, I don't think children should be abused. And I would say the same thing about animals. You know, I don't want a heavy-handed government breaking down doors or taking away people's civil liberties, but I'll also say I'm no fan of people who torture their animals. So people who torture animals or keep too many in too confined a space, which is a kind of torture, Well, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to live in a heavy-handed community where a SWAT team breaks down the door, but I would like to live in a community where people voluntarily, choose to obey certain kinds of regulations, and I think one of them should be don't, be abusive to animals. And that includes animals that are animals that we're going to consume. I'm a meat eater. I am a carnivore. I really enjoy beef. But I would prefer a cow to live an honest, decent existence prior to being eaten. And I know that sounds completely bizarre, but I would prefer a cow to kind of at least have a kind of near decent existence prior to being chopped up than a cow that's basically being treated like a giant meatball and being pumped with chemicals and pumped with shit just to, pump it up like Arnold and then to be chopped up and have every little piece of it so efficiently reused that some of it goes back to feeding other cows. Ugh. And so, and when I have these conversations with libertarians, I try to explain to them, I'm a libertarian. I don't want the government to pass a law that prevents you from pumping cows with chemicals. I'm simply explaining to you that I want to have a choice, and I don't want the government passing laws to prevent people from raising cattle in a healthy way. So as long as it's an even playing field, I'm generally of the opinion that the Monsantos of the world and the Archer Daniels Midlands of the world and all these giant agrocorp parasites would essentially have a bad day. Because really, I think most Americans, if given a choice between food that is healthy and food that is, maybe it's not technically poison, but it is probably not as healthy, I think people will choose healthier food. But again, I think it should be choice. I don't want to pass a law preventing people from having sugary drinks. I don't want to pass a law preventing people from having a beer. I think the war on drugs is stupid. I do absolutely think the war on weed is stupid. It would be a more rational America if marijuana was treated like alcohol. That would be a better America. So anyways, I wouldn't want that. But I do think you have to treat animals with respect, and I think that libertarians who look to their own values or ask questions like, why am I a libertarian, ought to ask themselves, why do I value my choice, my freedom? What does that imply? And one of the things it implies, I think, is a sense of dignity. Like, as a human being, I want to have a sense of dignity. And part of my dignity, emanates from and directs my freedom. I mean, essentially, freedom and dignity kind of go together. I think that's why B.F. Skinner titled his book, the way he did, because I think he realized that if you're going to attack one, you had to attack both. My dignity and my freedom are connected. If I am free, I have dignity. If I have no dignity, it doesn't matter if I'm not, if I'm free or not. It's irrelevant. I'm in my own prison. So here's the deal. I am definitely not a PETA person. I don't want to give animals the rights of humans. I kind of think that we should treat animals the way that we treat children. I think that we need to treat them as an obligation, as a responsibility, and frankly, as an opportunity to leave the world better than the way we found it. That's how I think we should treat, nature, animals, and children. Treat them as a stewardship opportunity, as a facilitative opportunity, not as a tyranny, not as a property, but as an opportunity to leave the world better than the way you found it. So, for example, I don't want a law that prevents you from capturing killer whale babies and taking them to, tiny little concrete enclosures and treating them horribly and trying to convince people that their droopy fin has nothing to do with being in a fucking swimming pool. I really don't want a law passed that prevents people from doing that. But I have nothing against people privately funding pirates who would rove the oceans, attacking motherfuckers who want to go around, capturing baby killer whales. That you see. This is where my own libertarianism, especially when it comes to the international realm of the oceans, gets a little interesting and where people can kind of understand where I'm coming from. I don't want anybody to kidnap baby killer whales. Ergo, I got nothing against a real organization. I'm not talking about that fucking Seawolf organization or the fucking, you know, Greenpeace bullshit artists on the fucking oceans, you know, hurtling rotten food at people. No. I'm not talking about that. I mean serious fucking ordinance, real fucking tactics. If you want to stop whaling, it can be done, and it doesn't really have to cost a lot of money. And frankly, if it came to that, I think people would stop. They would certainly stop kidnapping baby killer whales. Now, you might say, well, Dan, why is a libertarian talking about baby killer whales? Because here's the thing, and this is where I have to get a little more philosophical, but I'm going to. When I was at Central Washington University, I had a chance to attend a lecture by a philosopher by the name of John Searle. And John Searle is kind of famous in the sort of philosophy of the mind world. He's famous for the Chinese Room thought experiment, which is many consider to be a relatively elegant, if not proof, a relatively elegant argument against strong artificial intelligence. But that being said, I saw him lecture, and he was talking about, you know, how do you know, for example, that something is conscious, that there's consciousness? And he kind of said there really isn't anything you can do. He almost gave the kind of argument you'd expect from like Edmund Husserl, you know, the famous phenomenologist from 100 years ago. It's almost like he said the experiential moment of sensing consciousness is what tells you it's there. Now, I know that's a very ephemeral and very squishy and not very scientific notion. But he also said something else. He said, you know, I have a dog, and I forget the name of his dog, but he said, I have a dog, and I'll look in my dog's eyes, and I don't have a proof that there's consciousness there, that there's a self there, but I sense it. I sense intentionality. I sense that there's something there, that it's not just a little machine. And so when it comes to killer whales, for example, there's a lot of scientific evidence that shows that killer whales are deeply emotional, deeply intelligent in emotional ways that humans are not. Like, we are almost sociopaths by comparison. In fact, you know what? If we're really being honest, in the great panoply of complexity of mammalian social life, humans are kind of the sociopaths, and the others are sort of like either close to on the spectrum or a little further away. But killer whales, I mean, they appear to be relatively decent creatures that live a kind of decent life. Killer whales are capable of killing humans. Like, they could go around killing humans, and there's no doubt that killer whales probably have in the past. But it doesn't appear that they go around doing it on purpose or any frequency. So to me, it's like, okay, it makes a lot of sense to leave them alone. Like, as a matter of principle, you don't need a law here. This is what people need to understand. If people have the proper ethos, that you never need a law, because people simply do the right thing based upon principle and experience and knowledge and wisdom. But really, if we have an idea that a creature is aware, that it has consciousness, that it is a close enough relative to human life in that sentient sense, that there's identity and selfhood and consciousness, there's something there, and that it would be a crime in an existential sense to sort of deny that, then I think we kind of have to say, okay, we don't want a law preventing people from killing killer whales, but you know what? And I should say orcas. But you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have a law against killing orcas. But you know, maybe it's basically taboo. And maybe we need to bring back the concept of taboo. I mean, taboo is a powerful concept. And in my opinion, it's a worthy one. I think it is taboo to kill a killer whale, to kill an orca. I think it's probably taboo to dump poison in rivers and streams. I think that's probably taboo. It has to be powerful. It has to be fearful, because it's that bad. What's going on at Fukushima, that's taboo. That's not just bad. That's not just evil. That is basically a violation of our contract with nature. We have become that bad. You know, I look at crows, for example, and I love crows. I think crows are fun. If I ever had to study an animal, like for example, if someone ever forced me to become a professional biologist and I had to go back to school and study biology or whatever, I'd probably want to study the crow because crows are interesting. They're very smart. They have a great memory. They'll remember your face supposedly for 3 or 4 or 5 years. If they don't like you, they'll remember you, and they'll come down and nip at you and squeak their squeaks and squawks at you if they don't like you. They're smart little creatures, but in terms of volume, in terms of space, no matter how tightly you pack the neurons, there's simply not as much brain matter in a crow's skull as there is in a human brain. And yet, when it comes to those things that are most intriguing to me, the things that give you the powerful sense that a human being is there and not there, sort of like when people talk about family members that are dying and when they can know, when they sort of sense that their family member's no longer there. I don't get that experience with crows. I get a sense of selfhood. I'm not saying I'd want to be a crow. I'm not saying their life is wonderful. Frankly, they seem like the shifty-eyed, shiv artists of the animal world. They're always on the watch for a free lunch, and I don't blame them for that. I was once at a McDonald's, and I was sitting there, and I think this may have been the last time I went to a McDonald's because this was like probably 4 or 5 years ago now, almost. But I was at a McDonald's and I had this really disgusting moment, this horrible experience. And I said, "This is so gross." I said, "This McMuffin, this fucking English muffin, this isn't toasted. This is not toasted. This is spray tan. This is an industrial process. They sprayed acid onto this gross shit. And this egg wasn't fucking cracked fresh. This egg was prepared and put into a little baggie and they cracked it open. They steamed it. It's gross. The fucking egg McMuffin." Ugh, and when I was a kid, it was different. It really was. But anyways, so I think this may have been my last McDonald's meal. And so I took the McMuffin and I spun it out of my window like it was a frisbee. And this crow that was sitting on a sitting on a this crow that was sitting on a telephone pole. And it may have been a raven, okay? Let's be fair, it could have been a raven, but I think it was just a big crow. Swooped down and captured the McMuffin, the whole egg McMuffin, before it hit the ground, grabbed it in its beak, and had enough wing power to like basically get himself up to the roof of the building next door and feed on the McMuffin. Which I think crows like McMuffins. You know something? They're crafty, crafty, li they are thrifty, crafty, crafty living creatures. They'll be around. Crows will stick around. So here's the deal. If you're a libertarian and you're asking questions about animal rights, I think that's reasonable. I, for one, don't think there should be a law, but I do think that some things should be taboo. I think that, in some sense, human beings should think of themselves as having an opportunity to be decent stewards of their environment, to consider the resources, the life, the things around them as opportunities to be good stewards. And in the very least, do no harm. I'm not saying we all have to go out and garden the planet, but in the very least, we can choose to do no harm. I'll be honest, there's a lot of things I still do that I know are technically do harm. I use detergents, in my sink that I know go right down the pipe, right into the fucking river. I still participate in economic activities that are harmful. I wish that it could be different, but I know that I could make different kinds of choices. Eventually, I hope I will. It's a process. It's like I said, I stopped eating at McDonald's several years ago, and I don't even think it was out of any sense of willpower. It's just the food simply got that disgusting. So, anyways, with respect to animal rights, you have to make your own choices. I, for one, I'm a carnivore. I would call myself a humane carnivore, which means that if we're going to raise animals to slaughter them, I think we should make the attempt at allowing them to have as much dignity as they possibly can have, even though that affair is inherently undignified for them, tasty for us, undignified for them. We can at least not be assholes. I mean, I know that may sound like a relatively trite kind of moral principle, but when it comes to the chickens and the pigs and the cows and the turkeys and the other animals we raise to eat, I think we can at least not be assholes. You know, we can feed them the kind of food that would not be horrible. You know, they don't want to eat their uncle. They don't want to eat their grandmothers. I don't think we would want to eat our grandmothers. They don't want to have to eat their grandparents. So we can choose not to feed them cow or even other animals. We can choose to feed them actual stuff that they're designed to eat. You know, and yes, pigs will eat anything. Okay, we'll feed them almost everything. Just don't feed them other pigs. You know, let's at least try to follow some principles that our forebears followed that were kind of reasonable and they were based on health. Let's try to ask people what the health of these animals should be. And let's be reasonable about it. You know, there are some things that are not dignified. That doesn't mean there should be a law against them, but they're just kind of wrong. I think hunting is okay. I also think that hunting animals to the point of extinction is wrong. And that includes fishing them to the point of extinction. That doesn't mean there should be a law. It just means that I wish people wouldn't do it. And I would do everything I could to support organizations to prevent it. And finally, when it comes to the large animals, I mean, I think zoos are stupid, for one. I'll just let you guys know. When I was a kid, I kind of thought zoos were creepy. Frankly, I thought circuses were creepy. And now I kind of understand why, because circuses are just the best example of the farce of modern society and all the bullshit. And frankly, the way we treat animals is just right there writ large. Let's torture the elephants. Let's torture the frickin' elephants until they go crazy. Anyways, I don't like zoos at all. But here's the thing I think reasonable people should support. Orcas and elephants and tigers and these large mammals that need large spaces, these large predators that need large spaces, they probably don't belong in zoos. Maybe we can have them in preserves. Maybe there are ways to have, you know, that kind of environment, that kind of, you know, I don't know what the right word for this is, but that kind of a environment where you can observe these animals, you know, a menagerie or something. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but I think it's okay if you want to have that kind of environment. I just think that it has to be humane, and what I'm fairly certain of is that when it comes to orcas, that's probably impossible. Like, they need hundreds and hundreds of miles. They don't need tens of miles, they need hundreds of miles. Who's going to build a giant, you know, swimming pool hundreds of miles long? No one's going to do that. And no one's going to allow someone to carve out a bit of the Pacific Ocean to do that. And even if you could do that, it just doesn't seem like that would be workable. But that would be about as close as you could ever get with Uncle Dan to this notion that, okay, maybe you can put the orcas in an enclosure. If the enclosure is big enough, yeah, maybe. But I'm not sure I think it's okay. I think that some of these animals have, maybe they have obviously different courses of existence. They're not making things or using things. They're not using technology. Certainly nature and God has chosen a different path. But we can at least recognize there's dignity in their path, that being an elephant or being a rhino or being a orca has dignity, that just because we might feel a bloodlust for killing animals doesn't mean we should kill them all. That I think there's a big difference between shooting an elephant and shooting a, you know, an antelope. I'm not trying to say antelopes are worthless. I'm not saying deer are worthless or elks are worthless. That's not my point. But you can make a historical argument that we hunted those animals. And, you know, yes, we probably hunted mammoths, which were like elephants. But we don't have to hunt them anymore. So we could make different choices. We could say, you know, maybe we shouldn't hunt the elephants. We don't need to. It's not necessary. We don't need the, you know, ivory or anything. Same thing with whales. Same thing with a lot of the creatures we currently harvest. We could make different choices, and I'm not sure that you need a law for those choices. We could simply, as consumers, say, you know, I don't really want to have that filet of fish. You know, I don't want to have that. I know why that's so cheap. It's so cheap because you're raping the oceans. So please, I don't want that fucking Filet-O-Fish. I don't want that chicken fucking McNugget. I know it's not chicken. That's why you call it a McNugget, okay? Chicken McNugget. It's not chicken. You're raping the oceans, McDonald's, and you're doing it to give people shitty food. And it's not just McDonald's. It's all the fuckers. It's all the fucking, you name it. Everybody who has their fucking frozen fish stick enterprise is participating in this. But I don't want a law against it. You can't pass a law. But I would certainly support organizations that would fight against it. Because I think it's wrong. I think it's morally indefensible to rape the oceans. I can understand harvesting the oceans and being stewards of the oceans. I can understand keeping the oceans healthy, which means stuff like Fukushima needs to fucking stop, which also implies logically we should stop eating the fish in the Pacific, at least for a while. Though asking for logic these days is kind of stupid. So yes, I am a libertarian, and I've meditated on the question of whether animals have rights. And what I would say is animals cannot be treated like humans for the same reason why I don't think you can treat children like adults. I think that there are these stewardship opportunities that are provided to creatures in nature, probably rarely in the history of the universe. Probably doesn't happen that often. But when it does happen, the humans, the sentient creatures in question, should do the right thing. And the right thing is not to rape the world that gave birth to them. It is to treat it as an opportunity to be a good steward, to be a good parent, a good mother, a good father, a decent enough human being. And you can't pass a law to make that happen. This is something a lot of liberals and conservatives, a lot of Democrats and Republicans don't fucking get. They think you can pass a law to make shit like this happen, and you can't. You have to change people's attitudes. That's the only way you change it. So if you really want to fucking do something for the animals on planet Earth, start by not having that Filet-O-Fish. That would be a good step A.